and welcome to episode 165 of the Talking Wednesday podcast. We record this with smiles on our faces. The job is not quite done yet, but it is so close. I can almost feel survival. Hillsborough rocking at a 3-0 win for Sheffield Wednesday. Repeated chance of we are staying up and ringing out the daddy call for Danny Rull. Sheffield Wednesday have beaten West Brom 3-0. And we are just, it's disbelief of where we've been and where we are. We're not fully there, so I'm not going to get carried away with it. There's work to be done, but it is well within our hands.
Yeah.
And what a performance today, apart from certain things in the second half, but let's talk about that as we go in. We'll start the podcast as we always do. Jake, how's your week been, mate?
It's been good. I'm planning stuff for the future. Things that are going to actually help the pod, which I haven't actually told you guys about yet, which if it works, the idea of when we do a podcast here, we may have a situation where we have a 2-camera permanently set up and we can run it all into OBS. Nice. So it's that'd stuff that nice. I'm looking to probably improve upon next season, because we want to try and do an in-person one a bit more frequent. And yes, if that's the case, I want to make it so it's easier for when we come in here, we can just do an episode. So I'm planning for the future. I'm thinking about how we're going to sort things out. But apart from that, it's good. I've got a teething toddler. No, I haven't. I've got a teething 5-month-old. And my lack of sleep is depleting. So send all your caffeinated beverages my way, please.
It's made Jake very, very testy recently, hasn't it?
Yes. I've gone back a year ago to when the pregnancy announcement was just what reversed.
What can we joke with Jake about that he won't absolutely blow his top at now that he usually finds really funny?
Not a lot. Yeah. Well, to be fair, if Wednesday weren't in this position of well, I'd probably be a little bit more cheery. But each week it's been like, are we there? Are we not? Are we there? Are we not? Don't support football. True. Go support water polo or something else.
I don't know what you're on about. I love football. Jack, how's your week been, mate?
It's even better now knowing that this result has come in and then Sheffield United have been confirmed to be relegated to the Championship today as well. So that's a fun little fact. But me personally, I've been doing all right. You know what's actually a momentous occasion? For the last 6 months that I've had this camera, you will have seen in every episode that I've been in, every now and again, the camera would freeze and all that sort of stuff. And it'd just freeze weirdly. I'd be pulling an expression, whatever. And then it'd just pick up again. The audio would be fine. But you know what?
Hang on, James, just get ready to laugh.
I'm waiting.
I've been stressing and stressing and stressing, thinking, oh, Jesus, it's the cable. Oh, no, I've got a duff camera. Oh, it's the graphics card on my computer. Oh, it's the capture card. It's the this, that, and the other. No. It was Malwarebytes. Malwarebytes was latching onto my camera feed to protect it from, like, ransomware and whatnot. So in the process of that, it was effectively, like, tanking the performance of my camera and the capture card. And it's a very common issue, apparently. And that was it. That was the whole thing. I was stressing that I'd...
Is that external, like third party malware software, or is it the initial, the built-in Windows stuff?
No, the third party malware bytes.
So you use that?
Yeah. And just I was stressing for so long, and it turns out to be that of all things that's attacking, effectively not attacking my camera, but protecting me from ransomware. And in doing so, is holding all possible quality video footage of my camera to ransom. So how ironic. But yes, other than that, I've upgraded my PC because I've realized that my old one was had taken me as far as it could take me. And actually, it was causing more harm than good with current Windows updates and all that stuff. And Windows 10 is going to be obsolete next year.
And you still haven't got a Mac, which would solve all of these problems.
No, but I've got a RTX 4090 now, which is just as good. So
how nice.
So
Jake, car went back Jake's in the garage.
Actually,
though.
Really jealous because I'm going to be able to play GTA 6 when that comes out.
I'm not jealous. I'm going to play it on the PS5 instead.
Yeah, I'm also going to play it on the console.
You peasants.
It called Skint.
And what was also
I don't. The fact he needs things like, because I use virus software and stuff like that, obviously, but the fact that he needs to be quite extensive with it is because he probably downloads half of the dodgy stuff you shouldn't download. So that's why he's loaded it with his video games and all sorts.
I can not confirm nor deny that I downloaded a mod once for Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. And
I don't think we want to put this on the podcast.
It infected my PC with the biggest load of Trojan viruses you've ever seen, rendering my, like... forever ago, rendering that PC at the time absolutely useless. And I literally had... It's the one that I traded with Jake for the wireless microphones.
And that PC is now currently all completely clean, thank God.
Oh, no. What I had to do was buy brand new, like, hard drives and stuff to just put in and replace the ones that have been crippled by this...
So this is what we say.
Hey, mod.
So
hey kids, don't use mods that work and are legit. Don't do a jack.
Yeah, only download them pretty much from Nexus mods. So, that's the only safe Soph site.
Soph keeps going to me. Can you help me mod Baldur's Gate because they've got same face syndrome? And I'm like, when they do official mod support, yes. Until then,
if it's from Nexus mods, it's pretty much guaranteed safe. But I didn't download the San Andreas mod that makes it look better.
Let's actually talk, because actually, for once, I'm actually wanting to get into the football quite early.
Wait, James, how's your week been? Because we don't want Sophie having a go at us for not asking you.
Don't start down that again. Don't do it.
So how are you? How has your week been, James?
It's been all right. It's
he got sucked into a Fallout trap and he's stuck there.
The next gen update. The TV show.
Yeah, I've not played the next gen update because I've been playing 76, but also...
It caused Fallout London to be delayed, which I'm annoyed about, but oh well. It's not like I'm in it or anything.
Broken everything.
Anyway, sorry, James.
Are you in it by any chance?
Yes, quite considerably. So...
Well, that's your karma for not sending me the thing and getting me involved when we had that conversation. And you were like, oh, yeah, I will, mate. No worries. Which didn't.
You're having a lot
of games out now. Would you like to be in it?
It was on their social media pages everywhere. You could have easily seen it.
Yeah, I wasn't following it. And then I was like, oh, I'll get involved in that sort of thing. And I was thinking, oh, Jack will message me at some point. And then
wasn't that also around the time you were moving? So you were a bit busy.
That was it. Yeah. That'd have been it. It's a terrible human being. But anyway.
Your week.
You can support us with membership. It's been busy, been that sort of thing. Getting ready for very busy couple of months, but just trying to sort it all out. Plan my birthday's obviously coming up. Trying to plan a few. I'm not going away this time. We're just going to do something in terms of the only reason that I'm not that person is like, oh, I must have my birthday off and it must be. So it's usually because I'm so doing loads of stuff. I'm like, right, well, if I pick this time of year every year to actually take some time for myself and my mates, then I can make sure I do. So just sorting the logistics of that out. Generally just, plodding on with stuff, making sure we're ready for the end of the season, trying not to think too much about Wednesday, watch the, Champions League stuff and that in the week and the Premier League stuff and that in the week and all the games. And got a 90 rated Musabi Sheffield Wednesday related Ultimate Team, which is had everybody going, how did you get that exactly? And it's because he was just the perfect fit, because I had an 84 rated Musabi, which was the perfect fit to get him to 90 overall with maxed out pace, maxed out shooting. He's just ridiculous. He's just ridiculous because he already feels in game ridiculous because his running style is he's just Mbappe basically. So now he is literally like Mbappe, which is fantastic. But in
James
terms
has
of real
FC 24, cross that off your bingo card and take a sip.
Yes.
Anyway.
I did do that. But let's actually get into the football now. Sheffield Wednesday played West Brom at Hillsborough. Jake, talk me through this one, mate.
It just one of those games where Wednesday play and Wednesday play well against the team who you look at it, you think West Brom are coming to town. They need only a draw really to cement their place in the playoffs. And they didn't turn up. We were all over them from minute one. And you're like, can we just get something to top off a really good first 10 to 15 minutes? And we did. Really good play by Volk with the corner. Gets it to Windass. Windass hits it. And then Masaba with two chances and gets it on the second. Get Butt for taking his shirt off. Seemed to be a theme there in this game as well.
Yeah.
But then they didn't really show much in that first half. They had little belt, but nothing concrete. And we kept on trying to unlock the ball to just try and get things going. Bannon pinging them about. I thought Valentine had just turned into such a really good pickup by Wednesday. He gets into positions which, you remember when we used to have Sasso and he would maraud forward at times.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he was a centre back. He shouldn't have been rewarded, but he gets into those kind of positions and he makes things work. So you go into second half, you're like, right, they're going to throw everything at this. They really didn't. Like, generally, they really didn't until they made their subs.
They waited until the 88th minute to actually try and properly attack.
I thought we were going to consider. So let's talk us through the second goal and then we'll talk about their subs and the third goal and the pressure.
Yeah. Ugbo, he just levered it. Like, Masaba goes down, and fair play to Masaba. Masaba had an absolute incredible game. He was everywhere today.
Should nick a champ from the club, by the way, for Musaba. I think we should use the Paqueta, sold my car, but for Tony Musaba, because it fits.
That does work, actually. Yeah, that
if we're
going
to rob a chant, I'm just saying, it's an annoying one, which is why it'll stick.
Yeah.
You just sold my car to Tony Musaba.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying.
But Musaba goes down looking for a pen, and it's not a pen, he don't get touched. He just misses it. And Umbo, while he's on the floor going, oh, it's a pen, he's like, sod this, I'm not going to lever this, see ya. Mm. And the place erupted. And let's just remember, that was a sellout at that ground today, a sellout, and they put on this performance, and Windath nearly had a really good chance before he got his goal anyway. His goal he got was really good, but his celebration was weird, and like some of the stuff he'd done at the end of the game as well, like picking bits of the grass up and stuff like that, it seemed like, I don't want to say it is, but
Windath was saying goodbye.
Yeah, it felt like a goodbye. It felt like a goodbye. The way he took his shirt off, kissed the badge.
He laid it on the ground and then got on his knees and kissed the badge on the shirt that was on the ground.
Yeah.
It was weird. It looked almost religious in a weird way as well. And it was
I think
odd.
Windass has took to us in a way that...
He never took to any other club.
Yeah. And I think he took to Rangers quite well. I'm not sure. But like we've backed him all the way through.
Yeah,
you know,
in most appearances, I'm still backing him now. Wednesday.
But I think it's a case of he knows. I think no matter if we go down or stay up, it's a parting of the ways with him. Because I think if we stay up, we're going to be wanting a rebuild, and if we go down, we're going to be wanting a rebuild. And I think Windass will be one of the out of contract players that we know he can go and get a contract somewhere else and have a good sort of like final few years of his career. But for us, we potentially need to look at building for the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot of people were saying, we're videoing everything, player, crowd, kneeling on the ground, like looking like we're picking up grass. And that celebration, Windath has always said he doesn't really do celebrations, right?
Mm.
And he's done a couple of big ones when he was in League One, like the famous one where he went to pick up the player when it's known.
I think his actual quote was he doesn't want to celebrate goals in League One, and obviously we're not in League One anymore.
Yeah, but he did. Remember the celebration where he did the coach? kind of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think the thing is, Windass had an okay time at Rangers, but it went sour. It went sour really quickly. And I think when Darren Moore came in, he changed Joe Windass from a selfish player to a team player.
I think he's just been relegated, by the way, Darren Moore. Yeah, carry on.
But if Joe Windass does go at the end of the season, but he had got his critics and stuff, and he has had lots of things said about him, but you can't say that lad don't put 100% work rate in when he puts that shirt on for Wednesday.
Yeah. I can see you and me firing up our cameras ready for that retain list, as we always do. But no, Jack, before we move on to West Brom's pressure, just some thoughts on you on the Windass situation.
Yeah, it's weird. It's sort of like I sort of agree there, it somewhat seemed like a bit of a goodbye, or if it wasn't, it was like a statement of I've finally found my home here or something. It was sort of like a real declaration, his celebration for that goal. And yeah. It's strange. I don't know how I'm going to feel about Windass leaving if he does leave, because he sort of feels like one of those players almost that is a bit synonymous with Wednesday in my head. I can't really imagine him playing for somebody else.
Well, he's been with us since he was obviously loaned to us in the 2019-20 season, and he's been with us ever since then. And he's made
102 appearances. 108.
I've got 108 overall.
He got 108 and 29 goals.
Yeah, and he's been with us longer than he's ever been with a club, and he's at the stage where he's 30. He'll be obviously in the January transfer window. He'll be 31, so he's still, you know, just sort of turned.
He's sort
30.
Of in his prime-ish years, more or less.
I think he's got to a point where he's got a choice to make. If obviously Wednesday possibly make the choice and we don't re-sign him, but we've got the choice in. He's got the choice in. Right, I'm going to be able to play at my level for a few more years.
Yeah.
Is this where I go and try something out? And we know he's wanted to go abroad before and things like that. So is this the time for him? And I think it could be, you know.
Controversial one, though. I think Danny really likes Josh. You've seen that in some of the press conference and with the celebration last week with the hand thing, which was all about we have a talk. It was time to do less talking, more showing.
But I think if we replace him with Pervader, and I think that's the plan.
If that does happen, which is great, we're going to have one hell of a medical and a fitness routine for Pervader, because everywhere we've been, he has had a little niggle.
So Windass has also had injuries. So here's what I think. I think in that position, in the number 10, obviously Windass has played all across, but if we're talking number 10, we're going to have Pervader in it. And I think we're going to look at someone. I know Pervader's not very old. I think he's 23 now.
Yeah.
But I reckon we're going to look for someone a similar age that's potentially not quite at Pervader's level or a bit younger that's going to be the other number 10. And I think it's going to be a case of Pervader is somebody who's tried and tested for us in terms of we've seen what he can do this season already. And he's still young and he still develops. But because he's an injury risk, I reckon we'll bring in 24. Another number 10.
24. Yeah,
so I reckon
24.
You could bring in sort of a 19, 20 year old number 10, or you could bring in a lone number 10 next season. It depends on what we're rebuilding or what we're doing to fill that gap. But I think Windass deserves to start, but so does Pervader. And if you're gonna, I'm thinking, like, if you've got developing wingers in Gassama and Masaba, you're not gonna whack Windass out wide either. And Windass would become more of a squad player with rotation, which might work for him for injuries, but I think it's a case of it does make sense.
He could take that, though, because, like I said, he's become more of a team player. He might actually take that a little bit, kind of thing. The thing is, I think that's going to be really weird for Wednesday, once we do the retain list and stuff, and we're not there yet, we're nowhere near that, talking about that. But the bit that can be weird is there can be so many players who we have got so many good memories of. It's gonna feel really odd, because it's gonna be like when we dismantled that Wembley quad versus Hull.
Yeah.
It can have that same feeling because of what they've done.
The one thing that makes me a little bit nervous, and we'll pivot onto this now, about the next week, obviously, because we're not safe. We need a point. But one thing that makes me a little bit nervous about is the fact that, obviously, we were 3 goals up, but West Brom started to barrage us, and James Beadle, Jesus Christ, what a performance
man of the
from
match.
Him.
It was like watching Kieran Westwood again, wasn't it?
If he's on those levels next week and he does the same thing, we are staying up. However, we don't want to be under that pressure. West Brom only had that level of pressure towards the end of the game. If Sunderland are looking for that level of pressure, the thing is, Sunderland have got like a nothing season now. And I like Sunderland fans. I think it's a case of, I've seen so many people this week from Sunderland's fan base says, if they need a point, can we just pass it around the back, give it them, you know, if they need to beat us, can we, because it doesn't matter to us.
They want us up because they know it's a good away day. And vice versa, we know it's a good away day. And I think it's that two very big footballing heritage side want each other to be in the same division.
I'm not used to Sheffield Wednesday doing what they're supposed to do, but we did what we were supposed to do today with that win, because what's happened now is we've got a case of, yes, we need a point to guarantee it. However, and I don't want it to come to this, I want the point. I want to win. I want to win, because then you finish in style. Yeah. We actually could finish close to mid-table. You know, that's the crazy thing. But it's a case like, if we lose, Plymouth and Birmingham need to win. Plymouth and Birmingham need to win. One of them just gets a point, and we lose, we stay up.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Plymouth have got Hull on the last game, who might need to win to get into playoffs. And Birmingham have got Norwich.
So Norwich need to cling on to that playoffs. However, so Norwich need to cling on, because when's Hull's game in hand? Is it midweek? It must be. It's got to be.
No, it's tonight.
Yeah, it's tonight.
It's kicking off very soon, actually.
8 o'clock.
So if you've we're all Hull fans tonight, guys.
Yep.
Because if Hull win that, right, that puts them on 72 points, which then
put pressure
means
on Norwich.
Yeah, Norwich because need to win. Norwich have to win on the last day to guarantee or get a point. This is the thing. They also knew they could just low block it because they know they just need a point.
Also, remember, Blackburn Rovers are also, they're on 50 points today.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they got Leicester on the last game of the season away.
We've been shown that we can't rely. We're Hull fans for the next 2 weeks because Plymouth have got Hull next week. So it's a case of Hull need to win to get into the playoffs if they win tonight. And then they've also got, with Blackburn, having Leicester on the last day, Leicester going for the title. Because the title's not guaranteed.
Title, no, it's done. They got it last night. Because Leeds lost 4-0, they got guaranteed promotion.
But Ipswich.
But Ipswich is still going to be Hull, Coventry, and Huddersfield, which are all winnable games. But if Hull are going for it tonight...
Yeah, so if Hull win, the title's gone. Leicester have got it. So that's the problem we've got. Leicester don't need to win on the last day of the season, but they are going to be...
And Leicester don't play until to Monday night, and they got Preston at home.
Yeah, but it is the last day of the season. They're going to be at home. They're going to want to put in a performance against Blackburn. Basically... Oh, I've dropped everything. But basically, if we do mess up... There are lifelines. However, if we just go and put a solid performance in, get an early goal, sit on that early goal, it's not like we need a win. You know?
Right, here's the thing. Plymouth lose next week, and if Huddersfield win 15-0 versus Ipswich, they stay up. My mate, who's a Huddersfield fan, just messaged me going, I've just looked at that. I'm not putting a bet on that. Done.
I am just waiting. I am waiting at the minute.
To see your in-laws.
Until like, yeah, pretty yep. much.
Because you're going to sit there so fuddly,
well,
aren't you?
Because obviously it's not about us, but it was like, well, Huddersfield Town have done very well getting Darren Moore in, haven't they? Oh, yes, they have. Yeah, they've done very, very, very well. Huddersfield, yeah, we're going to stay up. There's no way we're going to get relegated, that sort of thing. It's been that all season. Sheffield Wednesday aren't doing very well, are they? No. That sort of like, you know, snide remark. And if we manage to stay up and they've gone down, I am telling you.
lads, if you want to see something really cute, when you get chance after this, Elsie Bannon doing that with her dad is off.
Oh. And now she was wearing the tutu.
Yeah.
Again, Bannon out of contract. I think he'll get another one, but it's a case of like...
I think him and Palmer will get a new contract. But I kind of think Windass will get something. It all depends if he wants to.
We can't be sentimental, though. That's the thing with it.
It was interesting. On that note, Bannon looked very emotional when he got subbed off. Bannon looked emotional when he was subbed off. And I just thought that was interesting. And also, I just wanted to say one more thing as well, who looked quite interesting when it showed him.
I know what you're about to say, I think.
The camera, a couple of times, panned over to the director's box, to the VIP seating area. And Dave Fonchansiri's body language was very interesting. He was looking around and he looked very, very solemn and very glum, or very like, he wasn't saying, yeah, this is great. We were 2-0 up at this point. Mm. He wasn't like relishing the atmosphere. He looked really solemn and really like somber with Pak Siao sat just behind him looking similarly. And I just thought, that's really interesting.
Couple of speculation topics then. Is he off? Yeah. Is he finally selling? Is one that we'd ask.
Are we going to have an absolute positive atomic bomb? But you can say
the other side of it though, mate. The players that are leaving, like the people like Bannon and stuff like that. If for example, Bannon's solemn going off and it was Bannon leaving and these players, he's got more of a legacy with certain players that would be leaving this time.
With them. Yeah.
Yeah. So there could be a couple of sides of it, but it could also be very much a case of, oh, look, Wednesday are selling, which would be interesting.
This is the season, whatever happens, where Wednesday fans, we cannot be sentimental.
Yes.
We've done that way too many times.
We kept like Gregory on this season for a reason that we, you know, we were like, well, that's a bit weird, you know?
Mm. Mm.
And that's not worked out. Gregory's not played. Obviously, we changed manager twice, but...
It's just an interesting one. It was just such an interesting one. But the thing is as well, though, on the whole, the whole Chancery body language thing, like... If there's anything that puts Sheffield Wednesday in the shop window, it is obvious the obvious reason of the ending of last season. There is now Danny Ruhl as the manager and what the hell he's done with the side that was seemed destined to go down with that dreadful start that we had. And then there's also this, not only the performance
if you can get that week in, week out.
Like, what was seen today in today's atmosphere, everything can be replicated week in, week out. And that would surely seem quite exciting to...
It's not a bad birthday present for Danny Ruhl for tomorrow, is it?
Yeah, because it's Danny Ruhl's birthday tomorrow. So happy birthday, Danny, even though this is probably going out after your birthday, but... If on the off chance you are listening,
it's going out on his birthday. Happy birthday. That's why we've moved the recording date, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there we go. Happy birthday.
But yes, let's do the championship review. So QPR beat Leeds United 4-0.
What's going on with Leeds? Apart from the wheels on the bus is definitely rolling down the hill and the coach is still at the top.
It's as it always is. Leeds are falling apart again. There's a song that so many fan bases sing for a reason.
Can we also just give credit to QPR? Their gaffer's actually done a cracking job there.
Oh, yeah.
Let them call it what it is. That's actually really good.
That's a team showing fight. And it was interesting today because I had a message from one of the family saying, at least your team, the Huddersfield fan, at least your team put up a fight. And I was like, yeah, you know. Norwich 2, Swansea 2, Bristol 2, Rotherham 0, Millwall 1, Plymouth 0. That's been a big result for us, obviously, with Plymouth.
Yep.
Cardiff 1, Middlesbrough 4, Wednesday 3, West Brom 0, Blackburn Rovers 0, Coventry 0. We could have done with a Coventry goal there, but they had a red card, so they were down to 10 men.
Also, their manager got sent off as well.
Oh, right, okay. Huddersfield 1, Birmingham 1 was massive because Birmingham were winning that, and I wouldn't have been as comfortable as I am if Birmingham had won that.
No, so I wouldn't.
I was like, oh, because I don't know if you had a look at the live table, because I'm just a sucker for punishment. Yep. I wouldn't stop looking at the live table.
And, I had it all.
When Birmingham were leading, they'd have been on something like 49 points. So that's how big that, thank you Huddersfield, because that's how big that result was. We've now got the 2-point cushion, meaning a point will be enough, and a point would have technically still been enough, but not by much. It would have been, I think it would have been something, we'd have been squeaky bum time to the extreme.
The thing is, Huddersfield are relegated because they're on 45 points. They can't get the point to get out of it.
Yeah. They can get the points, but they can't get the goals. Well, they can, but they'd have to get the goals.
45, 46, 46, 47, 40, leave them on 48 points.
Yeah, Plymouth are on 48 points, aren't they, above the drop?
So
if they got the goals, they could.
They got 15 goals or something, then...
I'll tell you how many goals it is. So they would need...
15.
13, I think.
Oh, 13.
Yeah. So they would need 13 goals to overturn it, to have a superior goal difference.
I'm so glad that this like chase for avoiding relegation is not as tight as it was when we had Dave Jones as the manager in 2012/13. Mm.
I'll tell you one thing though, if it wasn't for our goal difference, thanks a lot, Zisco, I would not be Danny Rawls had a few batterings, yeah.
I'm going to say
Only two, I think.
I refuse to besmirch the man's name. Yes. It was a case of like, we wouldn't be in this situation because we could lose, and if our goal difference wasn't egregious, we'd still be all right if both teams won because we could, but Birmingham have got a plus 10 on goal difference.
Before the game, the West Brom Albion manager turned around and said that we were only 3 points behind them in points we picked up in something stupid like the last 25 games. That was it.
Yeah. Look at our form, right, compared to the other teams, right? Let's have a look. So Rotherham, loss, this is the last five games. Loss, draw, loss. Well done, Rotherham. Huddersfield, win, loss, draw. They got into the wrong vein of form. They were confident with their new manager and then it just... bombed, right? Birmingham, loss, win, draw. They've got the most solid form there. Plymouth have done it at the worst possible time. Win, draw, win, loss. So they're going into the bad form. Wednesday, last five games, win, draw, win, win.
Yep.
If we can put another draw or win on that, we're safe. Yeah. No matter what happens.
Doable as well because
Blackburn have started to wobble. They played terribly against Leeds and got that win, but theirs was draw, loss, win, the win against Leeds, then lost to us, and then they've drawn. So they're in a bad run of form. So Blackburn are wobbling. Because technically, right, if we get a point, Plymouth win, Birmingham win, Blackburn are down if they lose.
Yeah. It's insane.
So, yeah.
It's insane. But again, what I like about this squad and what I like what Danny's done, he made them believe. He brought a team who were 13 points adrift when he came in and made them confident that they can go out and do stuff. And yeah, has he had a bit where he'd gone, I'm absolutely fuming, I'm going to throw things at you? Yes. But at the same time, they've responded to that.
Mm.
That's the thing. There's been times in the past where the player wouldn't respond. They just wouldn't. And I think that respect of going, this isn't any ordinary manager that we got in front of us.
Windass has said it on a podcast or something. He said Danny Rule's serious. Like the manager we've got is going to go right to the top.
Barry said it.
Yeah. And he said if he's good enough for Thomas Muller, then he's good enough for me and good enough for us and stuff. You know, like at Bayern Munich. And I mean, even though he's 34 years old, soon to be 35, bloody hell, he's the same age as you pretty much, Jake. Normally you see...
2 years younger.
Normally you see...
He's younger?
There's like a...
How old are you?
I'm 37 this year.
Jesus Christ, you've got old since we've done this podcast.
I know I have. Two kids.
Oh, for God's sake, Jack, you've given me an edit point.
Sorry.
Sorry.
What did he say?
Normally you
he
see
swore.
These.
Oh, yes, right.
I dropped the F-bomb. When you revealed your age, you dropped the F-bomb. normally when you see these like mid-30-year-old managers, they don't get a lot of respect from changing rooms and stuff. Like particularly the more senior players, but it's the total opposite with Danny. They just totally buy into everything he's saying, like left, right, and center. And I just think it's...
Yeah, but here's the thing though.
We need to basically back him with everything we've got.
Look at Plymouth, look at Millwall. They got two very experienced coaches, not managers. They got coaches.
Yeah.
And who were meant to be really good. The thing had to change them. But then
you can tell he's also looking for the future because we're going to talk about it a little bit now. He's been speaking this week in a couple of interviews about the potential of Wednesday, you know, and going forward. He's very much got that forward facing nature.
When people turn around and say, oh, he's off in the summer, a man wouldn't turn around in a press conference and say, yeah, this is what our pre-season is looking like. We're doing a mini camp in England, a mini camp in Germany, and then we're just getting the final little bit together. He wouldn't say that.
No. What do you think the future plans are with Danny Rule, Jack?
I think part of the news that we are discussing, basically, I think that it's all about infrastructure in Danny's mind. I think that's a big part of his plans is to make sure that we've got some up to scrap, more like competitive, shall we say, training facilities and just that, looking at the infrastructure more, because I think we've always just gone, typically under Chancery's reign, it's always just been about the first team and the playing staff, and that's it. Like, we've just made do with, yes, like, he's improved Middlewood Road to the point that it can be improved, but it needs expansion or even, heck, a new friggin' site entirely to actually progress and be competitive with... Like, Derby County, you've confirmed their promotion at the time of recording as well, back to the Championship. Congratulations to them. Their facilities are effectively a lower-end Premier League training facilities and stuff. And Reading in League One are the same. There's now League One teams that have got Premier League standard training facilities. And yet we're in the Championship and being talked about as, you know, oh, we've got massive potential. Let's start showing it in our infrastructure, you know? Let's stop with the, oh, the first team are all right and the first team are getting us to this point. We need to build sustainably for the future, and we can't do that if we don't have the infrastructure to do so that will allow us to do that. And that's a massive point.
Padamashri situations need to become more...
Yes.
More common, regular, rather than the exception.
Yeah. Like, Reading's, the first team of Reading in League One is pretty much just, a lot of them are academy players.
Yeah, Reading's a poor example though, Jack. Look at the situation look at what they've had this season. They've not been able to really do it. They were nearly up for sale. I understand what you're saying. They're using their academy
for
products.
For years, even when they were in the Championship, under John Medeski, they were... had so many academy players that were progressing through to the first team and looking very much at home in a mid-table Championship side. And that's because they've managed to get their infrastructure to that sort of a level. And that's what we need to be looking to do, you know? And it's effectively propping them up in League One as well.
You wouldn't want to use Reading as the print for it, because if you look at the situation they're in. But in terms of infrastructure,
they've had it for the idea.
All we need to do is look at the other side of the city They've been doing it for even when they were in League One.
Yeah.
They had that side of it sorted. And now that's paid dividends over time to a point where they've been able to bounce to the Premier League a couple of times, you know, and actually be a club that's got that sustainability in there. This result next week, and we'll be with you, by the way, we'll try and record a podcast straight after the game so we can be with you that evening. Or there could be I'll talk to you boys because there could be a live opportunity there thinking about it, actually, because it's a big one, isn't it? So we'll see what we can do on that. But we'll be with you over those around that time. But it's bigger because of the way football's going. If you think about like FA Cups getting scrapped and things like that, it's all about the clubs at the top that are going to be the ones that benefit from the financial situation. And I've said we don't want to get too far detached. And another relegation, which could still very much happen next week, would be awful in terms of trying to catch up with that. Do you know what? I will. So say Chancery is selling. I'll give him a lot of respect on the way out in terms of keep us up. You made the right appointment with Rull. Leave us on a build high, if that's going to be the case. I don't know what your thought would be on that, Jake.
It kind of makes sense. If you do, you're giving us the man ready to build and someone who can come and give us the infrastructure he wants, give us the, just giving things a little bit more of an update. Like the issue with the training ground, we can't actually build on it because it's council property. That's why you get the modular structures put in place, because they can just be put there and then taken away again. Middlewood Road is tiny. The issue with anything that does, where you're looking at that, it's finding the land to do it.
Mm.
And land in Sheffield, yes, there's a lot of it, but where you are able to build, that's a completely different story kind of thing. You would have to go through so many loopholes, and I don't think Chancery's got that in him to do the loophole, to get through everything to do it anymore. And if he leaves and we're left with Danny Rule with this, the only issue you've got that put Danny Rule, if there is something, the summer makes it even worse, because is DC going to put any money in if he knows he's going?
But the thing is, that's why it's like, if he is going to sell, he needs to do it immediately.
It needed to be done from the last 6 months. Because
it needs to be in the process where it's literally the handover's happening at the start of summer. Yeah. That's the situation.
Because if it gets to the point where it's potentially the handover isn't happening for another 3 months, we've got EFL regulation fit and proper, we're going to have 3 months where he's not going to want to put anything in. If he knows he's going, or he's going to do what he did with Mandarin, where he'll help say, look, you help get the players in for me. And then when they're on the sale, give me a little bit for it. Kind of thing. Because that's what happened with Mandarich, as you remember. It wasn't confirmed. But that January, we had all the players come in and we're like, how have we done that?
Yeah.
So it's a tough one. But if Danny gets what he wants to do, we can start having those building blocks of going forward and looking like a really well-run to a point club, but having those things where the step up from academy to first team in each year. And then even if you get like someone who's really good, but then you get someone say, I don't know, like a Everton come in and see one of your players, you put on that big sell-on fee. Then if they have a player who turns into like the net John Stones, that John Stones deal netted Barnsley 7 million.
Yeah.
And we've been so poor at like having youngsters who have gone on to be pretty decent and then not get out from. So if we can fix that, then great. But the big thing for me, if DC does stay this season and stays on and on and on, the whole point of having contracts run out at the end of the season got to stop.
Well, it might even make more sense if that's the case, if we got to wait for ratification. You get us through the summer and he sells in the middle of the sort of November time, so it can get ratified over the thing and for the January window. That's probably the best. I don't even know if that's a word. My brain's going now because I'm filled with the fact
ratification
just won. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to the game at the weekend. So 12:30 kickoff, Sunderland versus Sheffield Wednesday. We're at the Stadium of Light. We need a point as it stands. Do you think we'll get it, Jack?
Yes. That's not a very talkative answer, but yes. I honestly, it's not like a false expectation, but realistically, nobody wants to get injured in the Sunderland side because they've got the summer coming up. They don't have anything to play for anymore. Why would they go above and be? It's like a couple of seasons ago, the season where it was like the 150th anniversary year, and it was where Adti Nuiu suddenly was scoring bloody worldies from, like, you know, skinning two players and then curling it into the top corner. Do you remember that? The final game of that season, it was against Norwich, and we won like 5-2 or something. And they were in the same sort of situation as Sunderland are this year. They didn't turn up. They could have easily turned up and absolutely trounced us because they were a very good side that had retained a lot of their Premier League players at the time. But they didn't. They played loads of their under 21s, 23s at the time. And
my only worry, Jack, with that is if you look at the form of Sunderland and the fact that they have lost two on the bounce, so they've lost to Millwall and Watford, and it's more of a case of, you don't want to end the season with a whimper, so they might go for it because they're at home.
That's not my issue. My issue...
What's your issue?
...is they don't have a permanent manager yet.
Exactly.
And whoever's on that pitch will have to show what they can do, even if they've got nothing to play for. And here's the thing. They only have 5 players out of contract. The rest will all still be there. So they have to, so if they've already got an idea of a manager to go in and get that job, and he's, say, sat in the stands, or say he's around watching the game at home going, this is who they're going to want to impress, because if they don't get impressed by the end of that game, some of their players might be like, right, they're off then.
But on the same token, wouldn't you say that more about people that were out of contract at the end of the season than are already in contract?
No, because if a new manager comes in and sees that you can't be bothered at the end of the season and you're at home, even if you've got nothing to play for, what's that say to your manager? Mm. It sets the tone early doors, doesn't it? It sets the tone of going, well, you can't be arsed.
5-0 win, boys. Let's just do that.
Just take a win either way.
Yeah, 10-0 win. Let's eradicate any goal difference. But no, I'm going to leave it there because I am going to let you boys get off. Go and have your tea, go tend to your children now. And that sort of thing. I want to say a big thank you to the support on the podcast and a big enjoy the week, guys. Enjoy. Don't get ahead of ourselves. We know Sheffield Wednesday managed to fight themselves into trouble.
The best usually, way but
it's
I can
looking
say
half decent. Go on.
Is I did a stream last week and I said, let's see what will be. And that's the best thing we can do. One game at a time. We'll see what will be. The players and the management staff have put us in a really good position now. And all we've got to do is back them. Because they Indeed. Are showing that they want to stay in this league and they want to play for the badge.
Anything to add, Jack?
I think Jake said it perfectly, really. Just we need to see where we are next after the next game and not get ahead of ourselves, because it's as Darren Moore said going into after we beat Peterborough and made the comeback, there's still one more. We're not done yet.
And no matter what happens next week, the Talking Wednesday crew will be with you for that game and beyond. But for now, guys, thank you for all of the... I don't know why I'm doing a video intro exit there. It's because I've been doing the career mode. Take care, and we will see you in the next episode of Talking Wednesday.
See ya.
See you later.